You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friends and colleagues, Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Morning. Couldn't be better.
Yeah. So, Carol, are you on?
Absolutely. And that is the name of a new conference that I'm going to be speaking at in Washington, D.C. later this month.
No, that's the one. Is that the one in Portland?
No, it's in D.C. It's something that the National Association of Home Builders put together, but it's not builder-focused. It's actually focused on associations and small business. And the full name of it, are you on the social media experience? So are you on Facebook? Are you, you know, on and engaged? Yeah. And do you know how to use it? Are you on Twitter? You know, are you blogging?
For that.
Are you on?
Absolutely.
Clearly, I can't keep up with all your speaking gigs. So we have a great show today. Say hello to Mitch Smith, the owner of Pike Consulting Group. Welcome to the show, Mitch.
Hello. Good to be here.
And it's good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Mitch, before we get into it, take a quick second. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I am a 20-year-plus fireman, and I'm also a residential light commercial contractor in the state of Georgia. I have been involved in the construction market for about 18 years now.
So let's talk a little bit about Pike Consulting Group. What do you do and where are you located and all of that?
Well, as a builder, we realized with our building company that OSHA was now relevant in residential light commercial construction. We searched for answers and came up with none as to how to be OSHA compliant and what we needed to do to not only follow the rules, but to follow all the requirements by OSHA. We created Pike Consulting Group after about a year's worth of research of going through all the OSHA regulations and how they related to us in the residential light commercial field. Pike Consulting Group is a firm that we created to help any residential light commercial builder, whether it be a three-person company or a 300-person company, understand what their responsibilities and roles are when it pertains to OSHA, not only as a building contractor, but when it comes to the subcontractors as well.
Mitch, let's take a couple of steps backward here. Tell us what OSHA is, what that's all about, why it's important to a builder.
Well, OSHA stands for the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and their charge through the federal government is the protection of workers in the work site or on the job site for us in the construction industry. They handle any issues from eye protection to properly training the workers on any kind of job site hazards.
So tell us about your typical client. Do they come to you after they have a violation? Are they more proactive? Or how does that work? You're kind of grinning over there.
About 50% either way. We have some clients that come to us that, like how we got involved with this, they knew they have some requirement with OSHA as far as their company is concerned, but they don't know where to start. So we put together a package deal for them that, in a nutshell, will give them everything they need along with the training from us to understand what their requirements are, what their roles and responsibilities are as well. We also have the ones who call us up and say, hey, I got an OSHA violation. The inspector was on site last week. What can you do to help us? And for those clients, we actually help them prepare for defense, if a defense is possible. But we also go with them to what's called an informal conference with OSHA, and we state the case with OSHA. We find out what's going on, and we actually help them through the process.
Mitch, I'm curious as to how the, quote, the OSHA guy is viewed by the typical builder. Is it, you know, is it like the blankety-blank OSHA guy, or is it more, professional? I don't know how to say it. If here's a guy that's going to help make my business better, safer for my employees.
Well, for the most part, there is a little bit of animosity between the builder and the OSHA inspectors. A lot of the builders view OSHA as this big looming wolf on the hill coming down to get the sheep out of the pasture. And what we do is try to help the builder understand that that's simply not the case. There are federal laws and rules that we're going to have to live with. But in the long run, it makes their business more profitable and a safer place to work for the not only the superintendents that work for the contractors, but the subcontractors as well. But through giving them the proper training and helping them recognize what job site hazards they're having to deal with.
All right. We'll be back with Mitch Smith after this short commercial break. Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility.
With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Mitch Smith, the owner of Pike Consulting Group.
So, Mitch, now that we're all well-versed in what OSHA is, can you give us some examples of OSHA regulations?
Absolutely. Probably the one that everybody hears about the most and you hear the most citations coming from is a fall protection issue. And what the federal law states is that any worker on a construction site exposed when they're working over 72 inches off of a suitable surface, which would mean anything that they could walk around on, sit on, and not be hurt by. Anytime their feet are working 72 inches or more above that surface, they have to protect themselves against falls. It is considered a fall protection hazard. That's probably one of the most, it is the most cited violation out there because simply a lot of it is it's the easiest to see. An OSHA inspector can ride down a street and observe roofing, framing, that kind of stuff going on, siding work, and they know right then they've got them.
I mean, how do you do that? I'm just trying to think, you know, on a construction site. I had a couple construction jobs in, you know, college summers and things, and I know I violated all kinds of OSHA things just hearing you talk about the fall protection. How do you protect somebody up putting it up on the second floor?
Well, the thing about fall protection is it is not a one-size-fits-all solution. When it comes to, say, ladder safety, you're either using the ladder correctly or you're not using the ladder correctly. When it comes to falls, there are different solutions that we can use to protect the workers and be compliant. For example, the PFAs, personal fall arrest systems, need to be used more widely. They can use anything from people installing shingles on the roof, they tie off to an anchor point on the roof, to a framer on a second floor who's exposed to a fall hazard standing up, say, second floor walls. They can anchor off in the subfloor to the joists and be protected then. There's absolutely no way that they could fall off that structure. But what we want to do is teach them not only fall protection, but we want to teach them fall prevention. For example, if a worker is working near the edge of, say, a third floor level, we want to teach them to only give them enough rope when wearing their PFA that even if they fell, went unconscious, anything was to happen, they don't go over the edge and don't fall in the first place. That's fall protection, not fall prevention.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I have this house that nobody ever wants to get on the roof of because it's a tin roof and it's like a tin pitch. Mm-hmm. And we have anchors and cleats up on the roof permanently for them. But mm-hmm. then recently we had somebody painting the very tall end of our house that I would say is three or four stories in the air. And they wanted to use a ladder or combination of ladders, mm-hmm. wink, wink, nod, nod. And we rented a lift truck for them because I just didn't want anyone falling at my house and getting hurt.
And a lot of times when you use a man lift like that, if they use it correctly, it is a lot safer. One of the probably newest things that are out as far as fall protection is involved that you're going to start seeing more siding guys and painters and all use are pump jacks.
Ooh.
Everybody's familiar with the old pump jacks. Well, now they are building them, manufacturing them with anchor points built into the pump jack itself. So they simply can clip off to that, go anywhere they want up there, and they're not going to be exposed to a fall hazard.
All right, we're talking about falls here. What other common violations mm-hmm. do you see?
Probably the number two is scaffolding violations. And there again, scaffolding rules are a little bit different than fall protection is 72 inches above a suitable surface. However, when it comes to scaffolding, if the scaffolding itself is OSHA compliant, which means you have engineered walk boards that you can provide engineering data on as far as spans and loads and things like that, the fall protection height then becomes 10 feet before they have to do anything else. The three fall protection methods recognized by OSHA are PFAs, personal fall arrest systems, safety rails, or safety nets. The truth is safety nets are not really feasible in residential light commercial construction, so we mainly fall back on personal fall arrest systems and the safety rails.
So you've talked to us a little bit about how you work with builders and how you go to compliance hearings and stuff with them, but you know, what are some of the other services or training programs that you offer?
I am actually an authorized trainer through OSHA for construction. I can do what's called, you guys probably heard of, the OSHA 10-hour class and the 30-hour class. We can do both of those. We also offer CPR, first aid, and AED training as well. there's actually a federal regulation that says if you don't have first aid available readily on your job site, then you have to have somebody on that job site who is trained in first aid CPR. So we offer those as well.
Builders Club Rewards. You're working with those folks?
Absolutely. We are pleased and excited about being a part, being allowed to be a sponsorship with Builders Club Rewards. I think it's a great program, and we look forward to doing business with a lot of their members.
All right, well, Mitch, I hate to say it, but we're running low on time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Pike Consulting Group?
They can go to our internet site, which is pikegroup.net. They can email me at Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, at pikegroup.net. Or they can give me a call at 770-318-6491.
Mitch Smith, the owner of the Pike Consulting Group. Mitch, it was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you, guys. I had a great time.
We did, too. All right. The deal of the day is next, but stick around for our final segment with special guest Daryl Tatum. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day.
All right, Carol, what have you got for us?
Today's deal is from the Providence Group. It is good at all of their Atlanta communities, and it's $2,500 toward closing costs with the Providence Group's preferred lender on all new contracts on move-in ready homes and pre-sales. And best of all, there's no time frame for this.
No time frame whatsoever.
Wow. No time frame.
On all properties?
All properties.
That's pretty unusual to have that open-ended aspect of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great opportunity. And, of course, all properties, they offer luxury townhomes priced from the 200s to the low 300s and single-family homes priced from the mid 200s to the 600s.
So this really isn't a deal of the day. This is just a...
This is a deal.
This is a deal.
It's a deal of the year. You know, again, their communities are all over Atlanta, Cobb, DeKalb, Forsyth, Fulton, and Gwinnett counties.
Wow. You pick any location you want, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out where you need to commute to and from. Pick the spot.
They're all over, and they got great communities.
And of course, they have those beautiful, you know, home features and finishes. So, Delaney, would you like to tell us more about what most Providence homes come with?
They come with gourmet kitchens, with the granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, breakfast bars, oversized islands, and then you'll also have spacious living areas with cozy fireplaces and built-in bookcases, dining rooms with crown molding, hardwood floors, flex rooms for whatever you need them for, large owner suites that are perfect for unwinding after a long day. And then community amenities include pools, clubhouses, playgrounds, sidewalks.
So what else?
What else is there? Yeah, that's the whole list.
Pretty much wraps it up, doesn't it?
Where can people get more information on this?
Well, for more information, you can visit theprovidencegroup.com or call 678-475-9400.
All right. Well, that wraps today's deal. Well, it's just a good deal. All right, and we're back with our next guest. I've been looking forward to this one. Say hello to Daryl Tatum. He's an owner and pilot with Balloons Over Georgia. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for taking some time to join us, Daryl. Before we get into it, give us a quick rundown on you and your background.
Well, I've been flying for right at 19 years. I got into it when my wife made the mistake of giving me a balloon ride for our 10th anniversary, and I just never stopped.
So tell us a little bit more about Balloons Over Georgia.
Well, basically, we offer scenic balloon flights about 40 miles north of Atlanta. The flights last about 45 minutes to an hour. And when it's clear, you can see 45 to 50 miles. It's just a really nice, relaxing, hour-long flight.
Talk a little bit about the whole process. And I got to tell you, right up front, heights kind of freak me out. I conquered my fear of heights as a little kid, and I got it back. But, I mean, talk through. I would imagine some of the folks you get it for a gift.
Oh, yeah.
As you did the first time.
And yeah.
How do you deal with folks, just getting them in and started and expectations?
Most people are ready to go. I mean, it's something they've wanted to do. They figured out they can do it close to Atlanta. And so most of them are ready to go. But some are apprehensive about the heights, and I've never had anyone I had to bring back down because of the fear, but I've had a few that, you know, took them a little bit of time to get over the initial impact of being off the ground. Basically, it boils down to most people are really afraid of falling more than they're afraid of the heights.
I would go along with that.
And once they get comfortable in the basket and they know they're not going to fall out of it, they're fine.
How many people in the basket?
Well, anywhere from two up to 16.
16?
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a big basket.
So is that really crowded?
No, because the basket's the basket's almost as big as this room.
Wow. So obviously none of us have ever been on a balloon ride. It sounds like maybe none of us have ever seen a balloon.
Most people see are smaller balloons, and that's what we started with, one that would carry 2 to 4 people, and I still have a balloon that size. But as business increased and more people wanted to go, it just made more sense to move up to something bigger. We've actually got the biggest balloon that's ever been in Georgia.
Wow. So 16 people, is that seated, standing?
Standing.
So you stand the whole time you're riding?
Yes.
So, you know, all these great movies we see where people are having a whole picnic in the basket and
is it possible, not possible? Around here it's not possible. I don't even know if there's anybody in the U.S. that kind of handles it that way.
Right.
When you get over into some of the bigger tourist areas in Europe and Africa, some of those companies have baskets large enough to do a picnic in the air.
So how windy is it? I guess I'm just thinking, you know, I was just out on a boat last weekend, and I got off the boat, and I still felt like I was on the boat. But, you know, in a balloon, how much?
There's no sense of motion, really. I mean, we don't fly if it's real windy. So, you know, that dictates how fast we're going to move. And if the wind's 5 miles an hour, we're going to move along at 5 miles an hour. It could be 20 miles an hour, and you still wouldn't really notice it just because you're moving with the air mass. It's not like sticking your hand out the car window. You don't feel the air moving because you're moving with it.
Well, I'm just going to prove what a wimp I am. Let me tell you something else that freaks me out a little bit. If I get on an airplane, I mean, I know where I got on it. And before I get on it, I know where it's coming down. In theory, anyway, there's at least a plan.
Right, yeah. I start out with a plan.
Yeah, right. I mean, I go up in a balloon, and if the wind's blowing 5 miles an hour, I go 5 miles in an hour.
Right.
If it's blowing a little harder, I go. I mean, how do you know?
Well, you can't really steer it or put it where you want, can you? Right,
you?
Yeah. Our only steering's the wind. And, yeah, sometimes you can go up and down through the altitudes and find wind going a different direction. And that's our only steering. The plan we start out with is we know which direction the wind's blowing before we take off.
You just kind of stick our finger up
and do a little test. So we know that we're going to fly into an area that has places we can land. We kind of pick those places about 30 minutes before we land. I start picking out places I think I can get to with the available wind current. So, no, I don't start out with a destination. I start out with an area. So, and then I narrow it down to a destination just before we land.
All right. We'll be back with Daryl Tatum after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Daryl Tatum, owner-pilot with Balloons Over Georgia.
Daryl, before the break, you were sharing with us, you know, how you determine where you're going to land the balloon, but how do you decide where you're taking off?
Basically, it's the same thing. We have one launch site that we use a lot just because we can fly almost any direction from this particular spot and go into an area that we can land. But if the wind is blowing a couple of directions that we don't like, then we just move to another launch site that will allow us to track into a good area.
How does one learn how to be a balloon pilot?
You just go on the internet and fill out a questionnaire.
I'm telling you, you can find everything online on the internet. So he said, Google it. Did you catch that? Just Google it.
Just Google it.
You know, it's basically...
It's got to be a little more than that.
It's a little more, but not much. It's basically the same as learning to fly an airplane. Balloons are regulated by the FAA, and they do issue a pilot's license for a balloon. They don't have an instructor rating for balloons. So basically, as far as the FAA is concerned, any balloon pilot with a commercial license can give instruction. And then after that, you go to an FAA examiner and take a check ride, and he issues your license if you don't hurt him on the way down.
Good ride, get license, bad ride.
You know, it's, you know... When I learned to fly, there wasn't a school in the area where you could go to. You know, if you want to get an airplane license, you can go out to any airport, and there'll be somebody running an instructor, a school. Balloons don't really work that way, so you have to get another commercial pilot to teach you. Now there is a school based down in Fayetteville that offers instruction, and you can run through their course, in a few weeks and get your license. It took me, I basically traded for instruction. I crewed for the pilot that I flew with the first time, and he taught me to fly.
That's very interesting. So if I'm planning to take a balloon ride, what should I wear? What can I bring? Is there anything I can't bring?
Unfortunately, the only thing you can't bring is alcohol. We don't take alcohol on the flights.
I'll take care of the alcohol before the flight.
And that's okay. But a champagne bottle going through someone's windshield is not good. So, but basically, you can bring cameras, video cameras. You can bring a drink or snacks with you. As far as the way you dress, it's really just dependent on the weather. It's not really any colder off the ground. We don't get high enough that you have a large temperature drop. So, like now in the summertime, it's still 70, 75 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning when we meet. And you can go in shorts and T-shirt and you're fine. So, yeah, pretty much just whatever the weather's like is how you dress.
Well, talk about some of the really fun trips you've had, in terms of scenic or strange things happening or people that were with you.
Well, you were talking about taking care of the alcohol before the flight. I've had a few people that had a little too much before the flight, and it was real easy to convince them, in an hour we were in Mississippi or Kansas. Kansas. We were going to have to take a plane home, things like that. As far as scenic, every flight is great in our area. There's just, I've done it for, like I say, almost 20 years, and I still love every flight. There's something different to see every time. Some of the best flights I've had, unfortunately, were not passenger flights. They're during a race up in Helen each year called the Helen to the Atlantic race. And it's a long-distance race. We take off at sunrise, and we fly all day long. The crew chases us across the country and catches us and switches out our fuel tanks when we run low, and we keep going. Those flights tend to be really nice just because we're flying across the edge of the mountains, across usually Georgia and South Carolina. There's just so much to see. Unfortunately, it's just not something I can take passengers on. But the passenger flights in our area are really nice because we're close to Lake Lanier. You can still see the mountains. You can see Atlanta. So everything about it's nice.
All right. Well, Daryl, I hate to say it, but we're running low on time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Balloons Over Georgia?
Our website is balloonsovergeorgia.com. And you can go on there, and there's a lot of information. If you've got any questions, there's a contact page you can fill out and get in touch with us. Or you can just give us a call at 678-283-4033.
Daryl Tatum, the owner and pilot with Balloons Over Georgia. Daryl, it's great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's broadcast. Check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a customer rating and a review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guests, Mitch Smith, Daryl Tatum, show producer Delaney Langston, my co-hosts Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.